sponsors of WMI Radio.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Why Must We Seek God's Face Continually?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about seeking the Lord and seeking Him diligently and carefully always, every second of your life, going after Him and pursuing Him and seeking Him and seeking His face. Do you do that? Does God actually play hide and seek with us sometimes so that He reveals Himself at times, but sometimes He sort of draws back and causes you to really have to search after Him and find Him again? If He's doing such things, why would He hide Himself from us and play this hide-and-seek game, if indeed He does that? And do you, will you, and do you resolve today to seek His face at all times and go after Him? What's the importance of that? What happens to us if we don't do that? What happens to us if we do? So today, let's take a look at seeking the Lord and what God would teach us about that through His holy word, the Scriptures. First of all, if we think about that, this is a theme of Scriptures. If you read your Bible, you know this is a theme of Scriptures. Amen? Look at the Old Testament, for example. Here's just a couple. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11 and verse 10. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Glory in His name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Say, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. This is the theme of the Old Testament. Think of Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. David says in Psalm 27, Thou hast said, Seek ye my face. My heart says to Thee, Thy face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not Thy face from me. So definitely a theme of the Old Testament. Do you see this in the New Testament too? Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you'll find. So you hear about the seeking there. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 6. Don't be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall wear. For all the Gentiles seek all these things. They go after all that stuff. They pursue it. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need these all, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Are you seeking and going after Him and His righteousness? Jesus says that's number one in your life. Go after it with all of your heart and at all times to seek the Lord and His face, His presence, His righteousness, His strength. We also see in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. So the number one thing we've got to do in life is to seek the Lord. If there's one thing you do in life, is to go after Him and pursue Him at all times. So what is it to seek the Lord? What does that mean? Seek the Lord. The word for seek in the Hebrew means to beat out a path towards. So if you're whacking through the jungle with a machete and hacking around whatever's in your way, getting to Him, following Him where He goes, to pursue Him, to search after Him, to seek His face as He moves forward, to continually keep up with Him, seeking His strength. The word for His seeking His face in the Hebrew, pene, can mean His presence. Seek His presence, seek His face, and do that hameth in the Hebrew, continually. In other words, without interruption, always. So what should we really look like? Should we just be a little leaf drifting down, the stream, carried about by the currents of the world and whim? Or should we be a shooting arrow notched on a strong bowstring and fired through the air to hit a mark, namely the Lord? Which one would describe your life? Well, God tells us that we should go after him with all of our heart. Psalm 63, David says, "Oh God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for thee, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Is that how you go after the Lord? Sort of like a deer panting in the heat, searching after a flowing stream? Are you like Indiana Jones, racing and rushing and stopping at nothing to obtain the prize of whatever he's after? Like a missile seeking to acquire its target, and like a sheep seeking its shepherd, do you seek him diligently ever and always? Why do we got to do this diligently? Answer is because our hearts naturally are going to go in 1,000 different directions, right? We seek so many things, and there's so many temptations. The sinful flesh, the world is beckoning us in 1,000 dangerous directions, and the devil certainly does not want you seeking Jesus Christ and his face always, rather to go away from it. And we read in the scripture that apart from Christ, frankly, all of us naturally do not seek the Lord, apart from his work in our hearts. Because we read in Psalm 14, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that act wisely, that seek after God. They've all gone astray. They're all like corrupt. There's none that does good. No one, not one." Nobody is seeking God. That's how God looks down on the earth. He says, "Nobody was seeking me." Psalm 10, "In the pride of his countenance, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God." In the Old Testament, God is constantly saying, "Ask for the ancient roads. You know, seek my face." But they would not walk in it. And God says they've gone into bypaths and not the highway, he says in Jeremiah. "Therefore," he says, "I will show them my back and not my face." Can you imagine that? If God just shows you his back and not his glorious face, your life would freeze up in a moment as if winter came. Well, so we got to seek after the Lord. And as I said, there's a natural bent. And before Christ came, we were all not seeking the Lord. So what did God do? He sought us. Let's read this in the Bible. It's just the word of grace towards you. How much God cares for you. He says in Ezekiel 34, verse 6, in the Old Testament, "My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them." Look at that picture over there. Wandering over wildernesses, the sheep lost. "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself, therefore, will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when some of his sheep have been scattered abroad, so I will seek out my sheep. I'll rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." So what did God do for you? He came and sought you when you were not seeking him. And he found you. Jesus, when he came, remember, he says, "I came to seek and to save the lost." He's the good shepherd who, if one sheep goes astray, he leaves the others and searches after that one until he finds it, and he puts it on his shoulders and carries it home rejoicing. That's what he came to do, to seek, to save, to find. And he died for you. He rose again. He saved you at that cross. He rose again from the dead. And then he sent preachers out to seek you. I'm a seeker in this sense today, to call you to seek the Lord. "It's time to seek the Lord," Hosea 10 says, "that he may come and rain salvation upon you." And when we come, God says, "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So God seeks and finds you. We are also to seek and find him. But it's really he who seeks and finds you. Amen? When I was in my early 20s and I was seeking the Lord, but I got into all kinds of crazy books at one time. I read some New Age. I read some Native American. I read some Eastern books, and I was seeking the Lord, and you know what happened? I got lost, because those were wrong ways. But God sought me out, and he put into my heart to cry out to him, God, find me. And he came and delivered me an evangelist who brought me back to the Word and said, this book alone, Greg, this is the way, and Jesus Christ alone, and I was found. So who was really seeking who there, Zuleika? C.S. Lewis said when he came to faith and salvation, he said, all along I thought I was the cat and God was the mouse. But when I got saved, I learned that I was the mouse all along and God the cat. He found me. So he seeks you. But once we're saved, do you need to seek the Lord? Do you need to seek him diligently? In one sense, we've already found him. He's with us always. In that sense, we wouldn't seek because he's with us. But in a very real sense, Christians saved with the shepherd still need to seek him diligently and carefully with all zeal all the time, every day, always. Why? Well, because we ain't in heaven yet. Do you think if the sheep are wandering in the wilderness and the shepherd comes and finds them, Jesus finds you, does he just sit down on a rock's a seal and say, well, that's it. Let's have a picnic. This is where we're staying. Or does he say, now that I've found you, we're going places, right? Where is he taking you? Home, above, and to the new world to come. He's a God and a Savior who's on the move. That's why we got to seek him, because he's always moving. He's racing ahead of us, and we've got to keep up with him where he's leading us through life. And sometimes on our path through this life, and I'll tell you, the way through the mountain passes and the hills, it's misty. A cloud comes and overtakes the top of the mountain passes where we are. Can you imagine yourself like a sheep? Jesus, the shepherd, pacing at a pace ahead of you, leading you on, and he disappears for a moment into the mist because it's hard to see on those mountains. That's why we got to seek him diligently. He's on the move. In this world, it's hard to see him at times. We got to keep up where he is to go and be where he is and yearn to see his face, race after it at all times. The fog rolls in, darkness covers the highway. He goes forward, sight becomes dim, and it's hard to see him. Do you ever feel like that? Is it always like perfect for you, or am I just preaching to myself? Do you know that God also purposefully at times hides himself from his people? He does that, actually. Even though you've done nothing wrong, he plays a game of hide and seek with us. If you'll consider, for example, Job. Was he doing anything wrong, Bill? He was walking in the right way. He saw the Lord. Everything was marvelous with him. And then God allowed Satan to strike him. It was as if God hid him, his face behind storm clouds of affliction. He lost his property. He lost his children. He lost his health. God appeared to disappear to him. He couldn't find him. Job says in Job 23, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I can't perceive him. On the left hand I seek him, but I can't behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. You ever feel like that in your life? I feel like that like all the time. I have to seek him, and I start to lose him, and I seek him again and find him, and I lose him, and I seek him, and I find him, and I lose him, and I seek him, and I find him. Every day, it's follow the shepherd. He's moving ahead at a pace. The mist is there. The clouds and storm clouds overtake the afflictions, the troubles. Where are you, Lord? And he's calling me, keep seeking my face, continually, every day, always, lest you go into byways that lead to destruction. We got to keep going after him. Here's another one. Consider the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember that on the day of the resurrection? That very day, two disciples were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened, you know, Christ's death. While they were talking and discussing with one another, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he says, "Ah, what's this conversation you're having with each other while you walk on the road?" And they talk about Christ, and they say he died, and they were looking sad. So, in other words, was Jesus with them, Gwen? Yes, absolutely. But did he appear with them? No, he was alive and with them, but he was hidden, and he appeared dead and not there. So at times he hides himself from us to play hide and seek for holy, special, good purposes for you. Take another one, Mary Magdalene, on the day of the resurrection. She was at the tomb and she was weeping. And she said, "They've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him." And she's crying, and she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, then, and I'll take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she recognized him, "Rabboni, teacher." And she leaped into his arms, well, tried to, wanted to, with joy. But Jesus said, "Well, save that for later." You know, God hides himself. Jacob was at the Jabbok River, and he wrestled with a man in the middle of the night till break of day. In the darkness, he didn't know who it was. It was the Lord, angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ. At break of day, Jesus sought to depart, lest his face be seen. But he was hiding himself for a time. And he hides himself from us at times for good purposes. Isaiah 45, verse 15 says, "Surely thou art a God who hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." Do you ever feel like this? Am I preaching to the choir? We don't even have a choir. Are you the choir? Do you not experience this with me? Why does he play hide and seek with us, that we have to seek him? That we feel one day like, "Man, he's right here." And another day it's like, "God, where are you?" And he has us run after him, seeking and crying after him. What's he after? A number of things. Number one, when God hides himself from us at times so we don't experience and seem to see him right before us, he's testing our hearts to see if we're going to seek him or not. Remember Job, he hid his face from Job to see, is he going to keep praising me if he doesn't see me immediately, or will he curse me to my face? That was the test. And Job, of course, did continue to praise God. But he tests our hearts. That's why sometimes you can't immediately experience him like you might want to. He's not being mean, he's just testing you. Another thing he wants to do is to work a greater good by exercising your faith. Do you believe that? That he draws back on those mountain passes, disappears in the midst, or jumps behind a rock for a moment to see, well, are they following me closely? Let's see them search for me. And that will exercise their faith and give them a greater blessing in the end. Now, when I prepare sermons each week, what do you guys think it looks like? Pastor Greg sits down on Monday morning and says, "What should I preach on, God?" "Oh, preach on this, Greg." And "How should I put it together, Lord?" "Oh, here's the outline, and we'll get it done by lunch." No, it's like I go out and I start crying. I'm like, "Lord, what should I preach on this week?" And eventually something comes to me. He reveals himself. And then it's like, but how do I hit their hearts with this? And believe me, I pace back and forth here sometimes for 5 hours, sometimes in the dark, in the church. I'm like, "Lord, Sunday's coming. I've got nothing. How do I do this? Lord, how do I hit their hearts with this message?" And as he hides himself behind a cloud and I search, you know what happens? There's a surge of faith that is growing as I seek him, and as I continue to seek him, not only is my faith increased, the message is being driven into my heart, and then finally he reveals it, and I'm like, "There you are, Lord. Oh, thank you. You came through again." But he's increasing our faith. When he hides from you, don't despair. Exercise your faith. Seek his face. That's what we Christians do. He's increasing your faith to give you richer blessings in the end. I had a pastor friend, or a vicar friend in seminary. He used to tell, his wife used to ask him, "How's the sermon coming this week, honey?" He'd say, "Oh, it's horrible. I can't get anything done." And she'd go, "Whoa, this is going to be a good one." And then she'd ask him again another week, "How's it going, honey?" And he'd say, "Oh, it's great. I got it all done already on Monday." She goes, "Oh, it's going to be a clunker." It's in the seeking of the Lord that you become richer in faith. He's running ahead of you in order to bless you richer with faith in the end. So don't despair if he hides. Keep seeking him. He will reveal himself in time. Thirdly, and this is a really key one, he hides himself from you as the shepherd, leading you over those mountain passes in the mist and in the clouds and in the storm. He hides himself from you in order to keep you close to him. Think about that one, that he disappears to see that you would search for him frantically. Finding him, you're that much closer to him, clinging to him and loving him and enjoying him. I think of this with my dogs when I was growing up, with Mickey and Lady, little dogs. They didn't come. They ran. If I said, Lady, come, she'd go the other direction. The only way I could take him on walks in the woods was to run away from her and hide. Okay? Have you ever had a dog like this? I remember one time I was by a reservoir in Connecticut. There were woods to my right. It was all wilderness kind of area, dirt road. And there was a turn up ahead, and I saw it. Lady would always keep checking back. Is he there? Is he there? Because I would hide from her. But she would keep checking. I noticed she was just about to go around the corner, so I waited until she looked back, acknowledged I'm there, went around the corner, and I took off. And I ran through the woods as fast as I could, knowing I had about a minute before she was on my tail. And I ran, 100 yards, 200 yards into the woods, hid behind a tree, and got down nice and quiet. After about a minute, I hear jingle, jingle, jingle of her collar as she's quickly sniffing me out, and I follow her. She's following my trail through the woods, and she's hunting me down. She's tracking me. She's going after me frantically, and then is so intent on that she comes around the tree and runs into me. She was so on my scent, and she leapt into my arms, and we just had great joy together. Is this not what the Lord does with us to keep us with him? I'll hide myself a little bit from them, that they seek after me diligently, and when they find me, we rejoice together with exceedingly great joy, if I can borrow the King James. This is what God's after, to keep you with him, that you not be lost. He hides himself that you feel lost, that you not be lost, but that you find him and stay in the path with him with joy all the way into the kingdom. And when he's hiding, playing hide and seek with you, what he's really doing is conforming you into the image of Jesus Christ. Because he's causing your heart to thirst for the face of Jesus Christ like a lamb panting for flowing streams. And we all with unveiled face, says Paul, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, what will be the result of it if you seek the Lord? Now, if you don't seek him, trouble. If you do seek him, will you find him? This is the promise, Jeremiah 29. You will seek me, God says, and you will find me. When you seek after me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. Because he's not a God who hides so that you never find him. He wants to be found by you. When Naomi was a little toddler, we used to play hide and seek. Daughter in other room counting 1 to 10 or whatever. I hide in the next room. And Naomi comes out, little 4-year-old. I'm coming for you. I know you're in here. And I'm quiet and she can't find me. So eventually she wanders into the next room. What does Daddy do behind the curtain? I go, Naomi. And I laugh or something. And she's, wait, I heard that. I heard that. And she comes running back, and she comes into the room, can't find me again, and I go, wait, I heard that. And eventually I shake the curtains, and she says, I found you. I'm like, man, you did. I thought I had the best hiding place in the world. How on earth did you ever find me? That's amazing. She says, I saw the curtains shaking. You shook the curtains, and I saw your sneakers under it. I said, Naomi, you're the best searcher ever. I thought you'd never find me. Isn't that the way God is with us? He hides from you, but he hides because he wants to be found by you. And he'll make sure that you find him if you seek after him with all your heart. Because what his ultimate goal is that you love him and enjoy him and rejoice when you find him. And he rejoices when he finds you. And he keeps you by this game of hide and seek through your whole life, close to him, from the evil way, increasing your joy, increasing your faith, making you like Christ, keeping you close on your journey through the mountain passes until that day when eventually He will bring you literally to see his face in the world to come and above. For Job cried out, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then from my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my high, on my side and not another. And David said, Psalm 17, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. When I wake, I shall be satisfied with beholding thy form. And for us at our journey's end, Revelation 22, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and night shall be no more, and the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So my point today, in conclusion, is if God is hiding, playing hide and seek with you, don't despair. Don't be discouraged. Seek him. Seek his face. Seek him continually. He wants to be found by you. He will reveal himself to you, and that with joy, and that into life everlasting. And it will be said on that day, when you see him above and in the world to come, you'll say, this is the Lord our God. We waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We waited for him. Here he is. We see his face. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Why Must We Seek God's Face Continually? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Grace Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.
Apologize for my lack of ambition.